by welcoming to our program Alan Essig. He's Executive Director of the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. And Alan is going to walk us through what may be the new tax code for our country, given that the Republicans seem to have the votes to pass a conference committee unified bill between the House and Senate, and what that will mean for working families all across this country, what it will mean for the very wealthiest citizens in the U.S., and et cetera. Welcome to the program, Alan. Thank you in this very busy time for your organization. Appreciate you making time to join us tonight.
Good. It's my pleasure.
First of all, just say a quick word, if you would, about your organization, the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy.
ITEP for short. We're a nonprofit think tank that looks at both state and federal tax policy. We are one of the groups in D.C. that run the numbers on how tax proposals are distributed by income. We do a lot of analysis on who the winners and losers are, and try to explain to policymakers and to the press and to the public what actually is going on within tax bills.
Thank you for that. As we get started here, I think it's best for you to describe in short fashion what this final Republican reform legislation represents for the United States, generally speaking. And the main elements which you feel are most important for people to know about, given that there's, hundreds, if not thousands, of particular elements that are part of this bill.
Well, it's basically a Christmas gift to the most profitable corporations and the wealthiest Americans. It is a bill that has been written for and geared towards and most benefit towards that group. The business, there's significant corporate and business tax cuts here. There are individual tax cuts included in this also. The individual tax cuts as a share are much smaller than the tax cuts that go to businesses and to the wealthy. And the individual tax cuts actually are temporary. They phase out and go away in 2025, while the corporate tax cuts are permanent. So as bad as the, as unfair as the bill is when it's first implemented in 2018, 2019, it gets worse over time. It cuts the corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%. It cuts the top income tax rate from a little over 39% to 37%. By 2027, it's 10 years from now, it actually raises taxes on the bottom 60% of taxpayers. It does not simplify the tax code at all. It actually makes it much more complicated. It is a accountant and lawyer bill. If there's one sector of the economy that's going to do really well, it's going to be tax lawyers and accountants to try to figure out what this does and to take advantage of all the, not only the existing loopholes that they kept, but the new loopholes that they brought in. As a whole, it is something that does not necessarily benefit the middle class. The middle class, if you look at the middle 20%, which we consider actually the middle class, in 2019, they will get on average about an $800 tax cut, while the richest 1% will get a tax cut of over $55,000. And it's not just some folks say that, the wealthy pay more, so of course they will have more dollar amount. But it's not just the increased dollar amount they're getting. It's as a share of their income, they're getting a bigger break than anybody else. So no matter how you look at it, it is a bill that is written to benefit the wealthy and the wealthy, most profitable corporations. you know, there is, you know, a little bit given to everyone else, and whatever is given, most of that goes away in 8 years.
Alan, as we've been reading public opinion polls about this tax bill, it's very unpopular. In fact, it's more unpopular in some ways than some previous tax increase legislation, which is surprising. Now, the way this tax bill is designed, as you said, it's front-loaded so that some benefits trickle down to the middle class in the early years, whereas those tax benefits disappear after 7 years. And what the Republicans are certainly counting on is the short-term benefit for some middle-income families. And with the 2018 midterm elections coming up, which are crucial for the Republicans and Democrats to see who's going to control Congress, the GOP is banking on the fact that people will see some short-term benefit. How do you think the public is viewing this? Will a lot of people out there be bamboozled into thinking this is a good deal for them long-term?
I don't think so, and they haven't up until now. If you look at any economist, any group like ours that has looked at this bill, it is not controversial. Everyone's analysis is the same thing, that it overwhelmingly benefits the wealthy, it overwhelmingly benefits the donor class, upfront benefit, relatively small compared to all the tax cuts to middle class folks. But I don't think folks are going to be fooled by that. An $800 tax cut to the actual middle class is $60-$65 a month. When you listen to the president's staff and a majority of McConnell and Speaker Ryan, they talk about people being able to put their kids through college on that or renovate their kitchen on that. They have no concept of what that stuff really costs. So I think the benefits people see in their paychecks are going to be relatively small. And there'll be more and more news stories about businesses and corporations buying back their own stock, not creating new jobs. The White House, the president has talked about, $4,500 a year increase in wages. I think when people don't see that, and just about every economist who's looked at this says that's not going to happen, I don't think people are going to be satisfied with, the $50-$60 a month that they might see in their paycheck, while the 1% and the businesses, corporations, are getting billions.
We're speaking with Alan Essig, Executive Director of the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, and we're talking about the analysis of this final tax bill, which may be voted on as soon as tomorrow. I've been reading today. But the Republicans say they have the votes, and it very well may be signed into law before Christmas. Alan, the whole notion of trickle-down economics is a big piece of this tax bill and what's being used by Republicans to sell it to the public. As I've read, and I think you've talked about on our program before, there really is no economic analysis or history that speaks to trickle-down economics working to provide more jobs or increase wages. You want to elaborate on that a bit?
Yeah, I mean, there is a 40-year or more track record of the theory of trickle-down proven not to work. In fact, we've had when we had tax increases under President Clinton. We've had tax increases under President Obama. And the economy actually did better than the tax cuts under Bush and some of the tax cuts under Reagan. So there was no track record. And again, just about every economist who has looked at this bill, who has looked at trickle down as a theory, they all come to the same conclusion. When groups, whether it's the Joint Committee on Taxation, the arm of Congress, or a group like the Tax Policy Center, which is a private sector think tank, when they had looked at the economic effect of this, when they project out and include possible economic growth and new tax revenues, it's marginal at best. I mean, the tax bill is estimated to cost about $1.5 trillion over 10 years. Most groups who've looked at that the quote unquote dynamic scoring, including economic growth, talk about an additional $300 or $400 billion or so of economic impact, still leaving a deficit of over $1 trillion. And what we also have to take into consideration, it's not that even if you assume that kind of dynamic impact, you still have $1 trillion of increased debt that will have to have budget cuts to pay for, and those budget cuts are going to be healthcare and infrastructure and education, programs that the middle class takes advantage of. So not only does the middle class not get the real advantages of the cut in taxes, they will have to pay for it, in a sense, by having programs they take advantage of cut. So it's a lose-lose all the way around. Mm-hmm. And again, it gets, since the all the individual tax cuts and benefits go away after 7 years, whatever benefits they have is temporary, while the cost to pay for the increased debt is going to be something that's much longer term.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about the effect on social programs, as you just mentioned. As I understand it, because of the deficits that will be run up by this tax legislation, there are slated to be automatic cuts to Medicare and Medicaid. Tell us a bit about what we're looking at with some explicit calls for cuts in social safety net programs and entitlement programs like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid by House Speaker Paul Ryan and many others in Congress who always address the question about the deficits that this tax bill creates by saying we have to cut those programs.
Yeah, because of the cost of the bill, there is something called PAYGO, which is an automatic, when deficits reach a certain level, automatic cuts come in. And the kind of cuts we're talking about is a cut of Medicare of $25 billion in 2018, $400 billion over the next 10 years. Automatic cuts altogether will total $136 billion in 2018. And that means reductions in the agricultural subsidies, student loans, military retirement. So those are things that will happen automatically because of the cost of the bill. But the Speaker and Senator McConnell have talked about, in addition to that, to taking on, what they call, the entitlement programs, cutting Medicaid and so forth, as kind of the next step in this. And what they'll do is, they'll blame a deficit and an increased deficit that they caused. Suddenly, to pass the bill, it seems that deficits don't matter. Once the bill passed, suddenly deficits will matter again. And then that's when they come after the healthcare and the social programs and the safety net programs that, again, most middle class folks need and use. So it's, we'll be, paying for this. There's basically no free lunch. To pay for this bill, it's going to be a cut in programs and a cut in things that really help grow the economy, as opposed to the idea that you give extra money to businesses who are right now floating in cash. I mean, we don't have, these corporations are at record profits. they have record cash on hand. If they wanted to hire more folks or build more plants or give employees pay raises, they could do it tomorrow without this. But, you know, it's economics 101. They're not going to do that until there's a demand. They're not going to do it simply because money floats down. If there's no demand for what they're selling, there's no reason for them to invest in the, you know, in that way in the business. What they'll do is just increase dividends and buy back their stock. If they really wanted to help the economy, they would have put money in the hands of the folks who spend it, which is, you know, moderate and middle income folks in the country. If they had geared the tax cut towards them, and they could have done that by cutting the payroll tax, I mean, there's lots of things they could have done to gear the tax cut towards that population, really put significant more money in their hands. That would have done more to grow the economy than to give already profitable businesses who are swimming in money additional funds.
Alan Essig is our guest, Executive Director of the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. We're talking about the legislation that is slated to pass the Republican-controlled House and Senate, be signed into law by Christmas, as Donald Trump has called for. It looks like it's going to happen. And, Alan, I just had a couple of quick questions here before we run out of time. The first one is, tell us how this tax bill will affect already record income inequality in the United States as compared to the rest of the industrialized world.
Oh, it'll just make it worse. The biggest, you know, the overwhelming benefits of this are to the top 1%, the top 5% in income in the country. It'll make a, you know, right now the income inequality has gotten considerably worse over the last 40 years. This is something that will make it even more unequal. There'll be more money flowing to the top, less money floating below. The estimated wage increases that the administration talks about is a fantasy. Again, you know, there's even the Secretary Manchin, who, you know, at one point claimed he had had 100 Treasury analysts analyzing the bill. They came out with nothing, and so he's making all of these statements about what the benefits of it are going to be to working class folks, with no facts and no analysis and no research behind it. Basically, he's just making it up, quite frankly. Anyone who's looked at it, any economist, any, you know, and any other group, the benefits clearly fall to the top, which again will just make a bad inequality situation even worse.
Well, final question tonight for you, Alan, is this. If, as expected, this tax bill passes and it's signed into law by President Trump, how can the Democrats, if they retake control of Congress and the White House over the next 4 years, repeal the Trump GOP tax cuts? Is it pretty easy to undo these tax cuts and to revisit changes in the tax code that would truly benefit people in the middle and among working families? Something that this current legislation really does not do.
It's never easy, but I think it's a worthy goal to try to have. You would need, you know, to control, for the Democrats to do it, they would need to control both houses of Congress and the White House, because obviously any one Republican control can veto it and can stand in the way of doing rational tax policy. I mean, the ideal thing would be if the Democrats were in control, is to truly do a bipartisan fix to this, to really, you know, focus our tax code, to truly simplify our tax code, to get rid of the loopholes, the corporate loopholes that are in and that this bill makes even worse, to really gear the tax code to the benefit of low, moderate, middle income folks. I think it may be my Mr. Smith goes to Washington view of things, but I do think that it's possible. But it would take a truly bipartisan effort to do that, to really put the focus on the middle class, on low moderate income folks, and to, you know, and to have, and to look at this rationally instead of, you know, it needs to be done for the right reasons, for the right economic reasons, for the right tax policy reasons, and not just for pure political reasons to pay off, those, donors who donate money to the political class. I think that's possible to do, but is it easy? No. But I think it's a worthy goal to have.
Well, Alan, thank you on this eve of total destruction of our tax code and whatever shred of fairness there was in the previous tax code, which it would be hard to find probably, but this it's getting worse. And appreciate you walking us through a lot of the details here. And I know listeners may want to answer some specific questions. And how can they find your website so they can find your analysis on things like the estate tax and how this tax will affect particular blue states? I know you have a exhaustive research that you've done on this effect of the of this particular bill.
Yeah, we have a ton of data, and we have, you know, one of the things that we can do is we do 50 state analysis, so we can do the kind of the winners and losers within each state. So if you go to www.itet.org, itep.org, there is a whole section of resources. It's a resource page that has all the different analysis blogs and research that we've done that will give you a really give folks a really good idea of what this really does and who it impacts and who the winners and losers are. And we'll be, you know, assuming that this passes, we'll be continuing to work on this through the next year, trying to, you know, educate the public, educate voters. So, you know, when there's an election coming up, you know, they have information available to them to hold their elected officials accountable.
Well, thank you for all that important work, and it truly is a great resource, ITEP.org, ITEP.org, Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. Thank you, Alan, for being here.
Thank you.
We'll stay in touch. Thank you. Good night.
Take care.
Bye-bye. That's Alan Essig, Executive Director of the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy.